And a good Saturday morning, and good luck to the kayakers who will be fishing in the Ride the Bull tournament at Bridgeside Marina in Grand Isle. We'll have a live report from Chris Holmes doing our paddler's report. Now, this Ride the Bull has some special meaning. It's going to provide the broodstock for Louisiana's first ever redfish stocking program. Our Bayou Wild TV photographer Chris LeCocq is down there now, and he's planning to document the catch and the transport later this afternoon. Those broodstock fish will be brought to Ocean Springs, Mississippi, to the Mississippi Fish Hatchery, where the fish will be spawned and the juvenile offspring returned for live release back into Louisiana waters. This is an historical event, and you'll be able to watch the whole process on a future episode of Bayou Wild TV. And speaking of Bayou Wild TV, we're going to be previewing next week's Tigers in the Wild feature. We're going to be bow fishing and hearing from LSU defensive tackle Jacobian Guillory about his first bow fishing adventure with Bayou Bow Fishing's Captain Mark Vogt. And we might even get a little bit of an LSU football report from him. Well, we also had some other big news that broke this week for duck hunters. Governor Jeff Landry and our Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Secretary Madison Shahan have requested in a letter to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to allow those Mexican whistler ducks to be taken during early teal seasons. Now, we'll explain what the chances of that happening might be and also look at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service breeding population numbers. That was released this week, and they're, well, I would say less than overwhelming, but there are some bright spots along with some negative data, and we'll talk more about the upcoming duck seasons, teal seasons right on us now with Captain Ryan Lambert. He's our kind of go-to duck guy. Also, a Bayou Pigeon man has pled guilty to hunting migratory birds over bait and has been sentenced. His crime and his punishment is this week's Bad Boy of the Outdoors feature. I want to thank all of those of you who came to see me and all the other Hunter for the Hungry volunteers across the state last weekend to donate your wild game and seafood during last weekend's clean out your freezer day. The final numbers are not in, but last count, there was over 16,000 pounds of wild game and seafood that was collected to feed the hungry. Thank you very much. And if you had a successful fishing trip this week, we'd like to include your report along with your comments and questions with the reports of our professional captains and marina operators. You can do that by texting your message real-time here to the studio, 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. Be sure to tell us who you are and where you're listening. All right, coastal marine forecast from the National Weather Service. Kind of strange this morning. Down the lower coast and in the Gulf, going to be some pretty stiff easterly winds. I'm looking at Southwest Pass, 20-mile-per-hour wind at 4:30, and just up the road a piece in Belchase, it was calm. So the more inland you go, the less wind, and of course down along the coast is where most of your salt water, particularly offshore fishing, takes place, and there is a small craft advisory up for the lower coast until later on this morning, and those winds are expected to continue out of the east, but maybe drop down just a little bit in intensity. Easterly winds 10 to 15, 2 to 3 foot seas for the offshore fishermen. On the interior lakes and bays, 10 to 15 today. Light chop and tomorrow dropping down easterly 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mississippi River low 2.8 and steady. Your average tide range is about 0.8 foot. Not a whole lot of chance of rain depending on where you are. Higher chances down along the lower coast, but anywhere from 10 to 30% chance of rain. So remember, it's going to get hot. Don't let it fool you. You know, it had a little bit of low humidity. We got a little bit of a early taste of fall this week. It was very enjoyable, but I think the muggies will be back starting probably today. All right, that's stage is set for the next 2 hours. Thanks for tuning in. When we come back, we're going to check in with our regular guy down in Shell Beach, Robbie Campo at Campo's Marina, letting you know what's happening down there. And, of course, we got other reports from Darryl Carpenter in Grand Isle, Mike Gallo, Ryan Lambert, and, of course, a special guest paddler reporter, Chris Holmes. He's live at the Ride the Bull tournament down in Grand Isle. I know it's getting pretty busy down there. We'll check in with them right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, come on down with me to Shell Beach, and we'll check in with Robbie Campo at Campo's Marina. Robbie, boy, we had some really nice couple of days humidity-wise. Really felt good. It was a little tease, though. I think the muggies are coming back and calling for some wind and maybe some light showers moving in from the east. What you getting down there right now?
Well, Don, I tell you, this morning here, we're seeing about a 10 miles an hour east wind. That is expected to pick up, and I'm sure it will as soon as that sun jumps up a little bit. We're going to see that wind blowing a little bit. It's supposed to be forecasted today, I think, for 12 to 20 knots or something, but I do believe that the wind is going to pick up a little bit when the sun comes up. So, you know, and this past week it was pretty much kind of the same thing. You know, the guys that got out, who braved the waves and went out there, and because it was rough and the sound this week, and got out there to the islands, and they caught some fish. You know, Don, it was a pounding getting out there. Now the guys that had backed off and just turned around and stayed around rocks, you know, they around Long Rocks and that Bay Oy area, they had a lot of pick-throughs. You know, a lot of 12.5-inch fish. We've been talking about this for probably the last month now. And you know, everybody comes in, they all discouraged, and they, you know, but a lot of action, but just a lot of throwback fish. And, you know, I get this question all the time, how much harm are we doing to these fish trying to catch, you know, trying to go through, 300 to keep 25 or 30. And I said, well, if you feel that way, you know, I would think I'd just go try something else. But, I mean, you know, you're there fishing the Long Rocks, and that's what's biting, so that's what you're doing, you know. But you're going to go through a lot of fish. There's no doubt. Now, today, I think when I got here this morning, Don, the water's up pretty good. I think a lot of people are going to, you know, try to get up in that marsh today with this wind blowing around that Stump Lagoon area maybe, and go behind Pete's Lagoon back there and do some red fishing. I don't believe that today is going to be a trout day. Maybe in the Mystico on the backside of the dam, right before Anastasio, if you could find some clean water up in that area, or south of the channel around maybe that Lake Coquille, Lake Machias area, you might find some clean water on the northern banks in there. I think most people today are going to go red fishing, or go white trout in the deep holes in those bayous. Plenty of white trout to be caught. And we've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks also, Don, and they stacked up in there. I mean, any one of those bayous that you go in that's got any kind of low reef bottom in it, it is, you know, in those deep turns, it's been two at a time. So I would say respectfully keep your nicer ones and throw the little ones back. But there is no limit, and there is no size limit. And if you want to clean 10-inch fish, well, you can. I mean, that's up to you. I mean, you know, but
just use a small fillet knife. Get a small fillet.
Right, just use – exactly. Another question I've been getting asked this, you know, recently – when does the transition start? Well, actually, Don, the transition is starting about right now. You know, when you get here and your tide starts coming in at night and starts falling in the daytime, that's the kind of beginning of the transition there. Now, look, you're not going to come in here and go catch a boatload of fish today because I said that it's starting to transition. It's starting. You know, it hasn't quite happened yet, but it's starting. This is, everything has a beginning, and this is the beginning of it. So I think we still, you know, we usually have another, those trout quit laying eggs around the first full moon in September. So after that's over with, those fish will start migrating their way back into the Lake Bourne area, up in the Lake Ponch Train. And we'll start seeing some big trout caught up along the causeway and twin spans and all that other good stuff like we do in the fall. But to answer everybody's question, when does it start? It's actually starting as we speak. So, you know, when you get here in the morning and the tide's up and it comes in all night and then it falls during the day, that's, you know, your earth is tilting back towards fall. So that's when your transition's starting. So, if this helps anybody out and answers their questions, I hope so. I get this question asked all the time.
Yeah, it's a popular question because, of course, people, when they can get up in the marsh, it allows small boaters. You don't have to burn as much gas, and you don't risk the bumpy ride out there, too. Robbie, what about that east shoreline of Lake Bourne? If we got an east wind coming, you know, they got a bunch of little bayous and stuff that run out of the marsh and dump right there. That might be a good spot to work that shoreline for some redfish today.
That would probably be a good, you know, a good thing to do if you was going to go. If you're going to go red fishing, because the tide is going to fall during the day. Now, we don't have a whole lot of tide. I think we only got like maybe eight tenths of a tide today. It's not going to be a whole bunch, but it'll be enough. But I think there's going to be enough wind-driven tide with the wind, Don, to make that possible. But the tide is going to fall some. So if you go along that eastern shoreline, that would be from Milo. From Jenke's Ditch, going all the way over to by Biloxi, you got a ton of little sloughs and bays, you know, little bayous and bays that dump out onto that eastern shoreline. That would probably be a good spot to go pick up, you know, maybe some sheephead, some puppy drums, or some redfish along those rocks, because that most of that shoreline is rocked all the way to by Grandy. So you know those kind of reef fish kind of hang along that stuff. And I would say that would be a good idea for today.
That'd be my choice. Robbie, you got enough shrimp to fill everybody's live wells up?
Don, we are stacked to the gills with live shrimp. So we good with live shrimp. All we need is people to fish. And, you know, so don't let us hang around here like the Maytag repair man. If you're coming out, hook the left at the bridge and come and see us. We're waiting on you.
All right. All sounds good, Robbie. Thanks for the report, my friend. We'll catch up with you next week.
Yes, sir. Talk to you next Saturday, Don. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Robbie Campo. Go see him at Campo's Marina. All right. We got some text messages coming in. We'll get to those. Also got some fishing reports to tell you about. Also a big Labor Day tournament going to be going on over there on the Alabama coast. All that and more coming your way right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right. We love to hear from our audience. We do that by way of our text message board. Comes right here into St. Hubert's Cathedral real time. And we share those with our audience. We got this one coming in. It says, good morning, Don. This is Uncle David, Happy Jack, Louisiana. My buddy Bruce is always late. He's bringing his two kids, Kelsey and Brady. Of course, he's going to make them kids late. I won't leave him, but give him a shout and tell him to hurry his butt up. He'll be listening. Did you ever find out where the name Happy Jack came from? Yeah, you know, people always late like that, Uncle David. You know, sometimes you just got to leave them once, and then maybe they'll never be late again. But you got people that just are consistently late, and it's not fair to everybody else. Anyway, hopefully they'll get there, and hopefully they're listening, because Uncle David's waiting for y'all. Your other question about, did I ever find out the name Happy Jack? Now, Happy Jack is a name, a little community down Highway 23 in Plaquemines Parish. Not really a city, but an area mostly. It's called Happy Jack. And Uncle David had asked me a while back to research it, and I told him I would. And he must have been listening because I mentioned it the next week. But here's what I found out. There was a post office, and the post office was called Happy Jack. Way back in 1874, not long after the Civil War, and it stayed in operation until 1958. And it got the nickname from an early settler who was known for his cheerful nature. And some of the other names of this was called Point Michael and Ronquillo Settlement. Of course, there's a Bay Ronquillo, too. But anyway, some kind of way, this guy got the nickname of being Happy Jack. And the community was named in that. You don't hear that term very often. I don't even think it's on the maps anymore. I don't know. Maybe there's some signs on the road down there. But anyway, that is the history and the name of Happy Jack. All right, here's one. Don, did you see Secretary Shahan's letter regarding Whistling Ducks? I can't help but think your coverage 2 weeks ago had something to do with that. Well, I do, and I'm going to share that letter in just a little while and talk more about it. And you know, I don't know if my talking about it had anything to do with it, but I did discuss it with her on one of our air interviews. I know she's been getting a lot of letters from hunters that are saying, you know, they see this opportunity, this situation where there's just an enormous amount of these ducks. If you look on my Facebook page, I happen to snap a picture, and that picture was taken near the West Napoleon Canal, drainage canal, in Metairie. And I want you to look at how stacked up those Mexican whistles are. I mean, people see them in the marshes. They tend to have a tendency now to start staying here later and later, but for the most part, they're very, very prevalent here during the September teal season. So hunters are asking, while they're here, they're easily identifiable from other species like gray ducks or spoonbills or some of the other birds that might come here early along with the teal. And to not be able to take advantage of those birds and add them to the bag limit is just simply, it's just a waste. Well, they took that to heart. Governor Jeff Landry, who I understand is a waterfowl hunter, I know he fishes offshore, and Secretary Shahan got together and they wrote a letter, and I'll take some excerpts from that letter to U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service justifying why we should be able to include those birds in the bag limit during early teal season. And it's going to be tough to get through. The feds are very difficult to make changes. They're very slow, in, as most of the federal government is. But the one thing this shows is a willingness on their part to be responsive to the wishes and the needs of Louisiana duck hunters and Louisiana sportsmen. So from that standpoint, I think it's a wonderful thing they did that, and I'll get more into that. We're going to talk more with Ryan Lambert about that, too. Here's one that says, he's finishing up. That was from Steel Man. He said it was a great step. Happy hunting. Captain Ross L's checking in. They're going out for catch and release bull reds with a limit of specs for a lanyap. That's always nice. He's fishing down there with them at Cajun Fishing Adventures. We'll check in with Ryan a little bit later on. All right, we got Wingbone over in Wilmer, Alabama. He's doing yard work today, but he's finishing up on one of those very creative turkey calls. We're going to have to do a Bayou Wild TV feature on the craftsmanship of the guy named Wingbone, who makes those very, very beautiful and can be effective Wingbone turkey calls. All right, we got some more text messages coming in. If you'd like to send us one, keep this number handy, 504-260-1870. Put it in your contact list and put it down as Don's text line, and then on Saturday mornings, it'll be easy to get it and just shoot us a text message. All right, we come back after this, get to some more of those texts, tell you about the big Labor Day tournament put on by the Mobile Big Game Fishing Club. We also got a velvet deer season I've been talking about happening in Mississippi. Glad to see they're taking that advantage, and also we'll talk more about those duck limits, and also the duck numbers were released by U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on the breeding populations, and there's some bright spots, but also some negative spots. We'll run it down for you. Coming back after this 3-minute pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, if you are into big game fishing, the Mobile Big Game Fishing Club has their annual Labor Day tournament, the 57th annual, scheduled for next weekend. It's Labor Day weekend, August 29th through September the 2nd. Registrations are underway now. Thursday, they'll take final registrations and have the captain's party that night. Friday, there'll be a shotgun start at Perdido Pass at 11 a.m., and then fishing again all day on Saturday, fishing on Sunday, and then from 4 to 8 p.m. is the big event. They'll have a weigh-in at the dock, and what a wonderful event that is, 57th Annual Mobile Big Game Fishing Club's Labor Day Tournament. You can find out more information if you just Google their website. All right, we're going to get to that letter that was written this week by Jeff Landry, our governor, and Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Secretary Shahan, requesting the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to allow black-belly whistling duck harvested during the teal season. We're back to get some quotes from that. But first, we pause just 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don DeVue Radio Network. I'm looking at the letter that was sent to the director of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Martha Williams. It is signed by Madison Shahan, the Secretary of the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries here in Louisiana, and also our Governor Jeff Landry. And in it, and I'm quoting here, it says, as the presence of black-bellied whistling ducks continues to grow in Louisiana, so too should the harvest opportunities. Producers in southwest Louisiana have had to endure agricultural and economic losses due to this increase, and we cannot allow this to continue. And some of the figures that are quoted here are surprising. The annual harvest of those birds, now this is during the regular duck season, is up 208% from 2012 to 2016. And then from 2017 to 2021, which I think is probably the last numbers they have on this, represents a 4,000% increase over the last 5 years. Now, the problem is some of the other states have requested this, and what they were offered was to have to shorten their teal season. And they, in a preemptive move, said that they would not want to do that. They don't want to cut short from a 16-day to a 9-day season in order to include the black-bellied whistling ducks. So we'll see how this turns out. As I mentioned, the feds are very difficult to get them to move on things like this. For most of the people with common sense, which they don't use a lot there in the federal government, it's a no-brainer. I mean, it's an easy thing to see. I mean, the rice farmers are losing $500,000 to $1 million in the amount of rice these birds are gobbling up. Not to mention, it could present some health risks. You see where these birds gang up in parks, along drainage canals, the grain elevators on the river. They are very problematic. They're good sport. They're good eating. And to include them when they're most of the population is here during the teal season just makes sense. So we'll see what happens with it. If nothing else, I think it's a very good faith move on the part of our governor and our head of the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries to be reactive to what the Louisiana sportsmen and the farmers are actually telling them, and we'll see if this comes to pass. All right, getting back to your text messages, we're going to talk more about this with Ryan Lambert. He's our go-to duck guy when we talk to him. And also, I've got the latest numbers from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on the breeding population, the status of our waterfowl that will be heading down here this fall. All right, well, here's a text that says, a shout-out to Mike Bruno, Harley Davidson, and Baton Rouge. They're putting on a fundraiser for Stephanie DeForges, who is battling cancer. There's a car show, food, a silent auction, includes a fishing trip and lodging and an eco tour donated by Cajun Fishing Adventures. Thank you, Ryan Lambert. That'll be on September the 14th. Yeah, very generous folks, and hope it works out well. And here's one says, Don wanted to let anyone listening know, Superior Bait and Tackle in Baton Rouge has 3-pound deep drop rod holder weights back in stock. That's from Chip with Sinkers by the Pound. You know, I got to stop in Superior Bait and Tackle. It's been a while since I've been there, and it's one of those great little fish and tackle stores, little mom and pop store like Shags and Metairie and Puglia's, where they really cater to the local fishermen and get what the local like to get in there. And they can order things for you. They do rod and reel repair. Thank God we have stores like that. And Mark does a great job. Superior Bait and Tackle over there in Baton Rouge. All right, let's see. We got this one says, good morning. I am living vicariously through you this morning as my heart is in the outdoors, but my body is stuck at work. I was able to get out early in the week and do some bush hogging at the lease. Cooler temperatures are coming in, and they will be a welcome change. That's from Smokey with a Baton Rouge caller number. You know, that's part of what we do here. We love to have you live vicariously through us. We bring the outdoors to your workplace, to your camp, to your car and your truck, and in some cases into your bedroom on Saturday mornings if you can't be out there. And we got some more texts coming in. Morning, Don, with the river being so low and green from the backup from the Gulf, are there redfish and striped bass being caught in Gretna? Do you know? I wouldn't think they're going to be that far north. I think the saltwater wedge, last I heard, was somewhere around Boothville. We'll get a further run. We got a lot to talk about with Ryan Lambert this morning. We'll check with him and see what he's got to say. All right, got more texts coming. Keep them coming at 504-260-1870. We're back to share them with our audience right after this quick pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, getting back to those text messages. Let's see. We have fishing. This is from Doug. Fishing Bayou Liberty on Tuesday and noticed three different bands of teal heading towards the Wrigley's Marsh. Fishing slow, no tide movement. Yeah, take that tide to get them biting. All right, here's one, a question. Another one for Captain Ryan. Does he do specific triple-tail mangrove snapper trips? Also, did we wait too late to try and book a trip, or is the bite still on? Thank you. If you stay tuned, we're going to be talking to Ryan Lambert a little bit later on, and we'll check with him on that. And also a question about from Pickle in Ponchatoula. How is the fishing in Happy Jack? Well, that's going to be Ryan Lambert question again. So it's going to be the Ryan Lambert show for the second hour. And we're hearing from our Alabama buddy, the Backstrap Stacker. He's headed to the camp to do more bush hogging. Man, you put a lot of time in on that deer lease. He said he got a little bit of a fall tease. It's 61 degrees up there this morning. Yeah, we had some of that around my place, too, earlier this week. But looks like it may be gone by now. But it'll be back. And here's one talking about the Happy Jack comment. You're quick on your part. You're very witty and correct. It's about that fellow that was very happy. But this fellow's happy because he's waiting for the dynamic duel to get back on the water, and he's also waiting on his buddy to get there. He's going to make the kids late on their fishing trip. Also got a buddy on the West Bank, had a procedure. Hadn't been there a while, but looking forward when he comes back and they get reunited and they can get back on the water. That's a shout-out for the nickname Bulldog. And here's one from Joey C. He's on his way to Lafayette, not for pleasure, but for work. At least he gets to listen to this show on the drive. And here's a comment, says, seeing something never before in my 80 years. Dolphins in bays back of Boothville and Burris. What does that tell you? Oysters, brown shrimp, redfish, special trout, meaning speckled trout, disappearing. I need water diversions. And here's one, says, hey, Don, the last I looked, we weren't able to hunt within the city. Well, you're not going to be able to hunt the ducks in the city. But, you know, there's actually two sides of an argument about that. I believe if you start hunting those birds and you put pressure on them, you're not going to start seeing them stack up in those places anymore. I mean, do we see blue-winged teal and gray ducks and pintails and those kind of birds stacking up in the cities? No, and when they're here, and I think part of that reason is they have a natural fear. I mean, they're hunted species, and once you hunt a species, I mean, take the bird like a dove. If doves were not hunted, they'd be basically songbirds like cardinals and blue jays and everything else. Now, other people believe that, you know, they're going to take refuge in the city parks and the places where there's no hunting and just make the situation worse there. I don't know. What do y'all think? And this one says, are there any states currently offering black-bellied whistlers in their teal season? I know that some have requested it, and I think the feds are kind of mulling it over, taking their time to make a decision. I mean, how wrong could they be, huh? All right, let's see. This one says, headed to Pecan Island to cut the grass at the camp. That's from Vermilionville. And let's see. I've been told the whistling ducks are delicious. They taste like a barn owl. Well, I don't know what a barn owl tastes like. I doubt many people do. I have eaten the whistling ducks, and to me, they're just about like any other puddle duck, gray duck, widgeon, pintail. You know, most of those species are similar, and, you know, I'll tell you one thing they have. They've got a huge breast on them because they're much bigger, they're a different shape, and they've got big legs. If you're a drumstick guy and thighs, oh, man, that's your call right there. All right, 504-260-1870, that is our talk and text line. If you want to get a text in real quick, we'll always welcome to take them. Did want to remind you, I've been talking about this for a couple of weeks. Mississippi is taking a real good opportunity to offer a velvet deer season to hunters in their state. You know, you can take a deer in velvet, and it's only going to be for just a few days. It's September 13th through 15th. It's a very early season. You have to get a velvet season permit in addition to your other hunting license. It's, you know, of course, if it's got a velvet rack, it's going to be a buck, so it's bucks only. And you have to abide by the size limits in the unit in which you take it. Some you can take any buck. Others it's a 12-inch, and others it's 10. Just check the regulations, and you can find it out for your respective deer management area. And this is for archery only. You can use a longbow, recurve, compound bow, crossbow, and there's no minimum draw weight. You do have to get the permit. The residents, it's only $10. If you're a non-resident, the permit is included in your deer permit, which is $100. And the bag limit, again, is one legal buck, and it counts towards your annual antler deer bag limit. But a unique opportunity. A lot of people like to see them in velvet, and it is rare, but it does happen during the regular season where it gets to October and some of the deer still haven't scraped off all that velvet, which is the regrowth of the antlers each year. But you do it in September, you got a much better chance of finding a buck with velvet antlers. All right, we come back after this. We got a fishing report. We're going to check in with Darrell Carpenter in Grand Isle. I think he's got special duty down there today. participating in that redfish reload, we're calling it, the first ever redfish. All right, if you are into big game fishing, the Mobile Big Game Fishing Club has their annual Labor Day tournament, the 57th annual, scheduled for next weekend. It's Labor Day weekend, August 29th through September the 2nd. Registrations are underway now. Thursday, they'll take final registrations and have the captain's party that night. Friday, there'll be a shotgun start at Perdido Pass at 11 a.m., and then fishing again all day on Saturday, fishing on Sunday, and then from 4 to 8 p.m. is the big event. They'll have a weigh-in at the dock, and what a wonderful event that is, 57th Annual Mobile Big Game Fishing Club's Labor Day Tournament. You can find out more information if you just Google their website. All right, we're going to get to that letter that was written this week by Jeff Landry, our governor, and Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Secretary Shahan, requesting the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to allow black-belly whistling duck harvested during the teal season. We're back to get some quotes from that. But first, we pause just 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don DeVue Radio Network. I'm looking at the letter that was sent to the director of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Martha Williams. It is signed by Madison Shahan, the Secretary of the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries here in Louisiana, and also our Governor Jeff Landry. And in it, and I'm quoting here, it says, as the presence of black-bellied whistling ducks continues to grow in Louisiana, so too should the harvest opportunities. Producers in southwest Louisiana have had to endure agricultural and economic losses due to this increase, and we cannot allow this to continue. And some of the figures that are quoted here are surprising. The annual harvest of those birds, now this is during the regular duck season, is up 208% from 2012 to 2016. And then from 2017 to 2021, which I think is probably the last numbers they have on this, represents a 4,000% increase over the last 5 years. Now, the problem is some of the other states have requested this, and what they were offered was to have to shorten their teal season. And they, in a preemptive move, said that they would not want to do that. They don't want to cut short from a 16-day to a 9-day season in order to include the black-bellied whistling ducks. So we'll see how this turns out. As I mentioned, the feds are very difficult to get them to move on things like this. For most of the people with common sense, which they don't use a lot there in the federal government, it's a no-brainer. I mean, it's an easy thing to see. I mean, the rice farmers are losing $500,000 to $1 million in the amount of rice these birds are gobbling up. Not to mention, it could present some health risks. You see where these birds gang up in parks along drainage canals, the grain elevators on the river. They are very problematic. They're good sport. They're good eating. And to include them when they're most of the population is here during the teal season just makes sense. So we'll see what happens with it. If nothing else, I think it's a very good faith move on the part of our governor and our head of the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries to be reactive to what the Louisiana sportsmen and the farmers are actually telling them, and we'll see if this comes to pass. All right, getting back to your text messages, we're going to talk more about this with Ryan Lambert. He's our go-to duck guy when we talk to him. And also, I've got the latest numbers from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on the breeding population, the status of our waterfowl that will be heading down here this fall. All right, well, here's a text that says, a shout-out to Mike Bruno, Harley Davidson, and Baton Rouge. They're putting on a fundraiser for Stephanie DeForges, who is battling cancer. There's a car show, food, a silent auction, includes a fishing trip and lodging and an eco tour donated by Cajun Fishing Adventures. Thank you, Ryan Lambert. That'll be on September the 14th. Yeah, very generous folks, and hope it works out well. And here's one says, Don wanted to let anyone listening know, Superior Bait and Tackle in Baton Rouge has 3-pound deep drop rod holder weights back in stock. That's from Chip with Sinkers by the Pound. You know, I got to stop in Superior Bait and Tackle. It's been a while since I've been there, and it's one of those great little fish and tackle stores, little mom and pop store like Shags and Metairie and Puglia's, where they really cater to the local fishermen and get what the local like to get in there. And they can order things for you. They do rod and reel repair. Thank God we have stores like that. And Mark does a great job. Superior Bait and Tackle over there in Baton Rouge. All right, let's see. We got this one says, good morning. I am living vicariously through you this morning as my heart is in the outdoors, but my body is stuck at work. I was able to get out early in the week and do some bush hogging at the lease. Cooler temperatures are coming in, and they will be a welcome change. That's from Smokey with a Baton Rouge caller number. You know, that's part of what we do here. Is we love to have you live vicariously through us. We bring the outdoors to your workplace, to your camp, to your car and your truck, and in some cases into your bedroom on Saturday mornings if you can't be out there. And we got some more texts coming in. Morning, Don, with the river being so low and green from the backup from the Gulf. Are there redfish and striped bass being caught in Gretna? Do you know? I wouldn't think they're going to be that far north. I think the saltwater wedge, last I heard, was somewhere around Boothville. We'll get a further run. We got a lot to talk about with Ryan Lambert this morning. We'll check with him and see what he's got to say. All right, got more texts coming. Keep them coming at 504-260-1870. We're back to share them with our audience right after this quick pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, getting back to those text messages. Let's see. We have fishing. This is from Doug. Fishing Bayou Liberty on Tuesday and noticed three different bands of teal heading towards the Wrigley's Marsh. Fishing slow, no tide movement. Yeah, take that tide to get them biting. All right, here's one, a question. Another one for Captain Ryan. Does he do specific triple-tail mangrove snapper trips? Also, did we wait too late to try and book a trip, or is the bite still on? Thank you. If you stay tuned, we're going to be talking to Ryan Lambert a little bit later on, and we'll check with him on that. And also a question about from Pickle in Ponchatoula. How is the fishing in Happy Jack? Well, that's going to be Ryan Lambert question again. So it's going to be the Ryan Lambert show for the second hour. And we're hearing from our Alabama buddy, the Backstrap Stacker. He's headed to the camp to do more bush hogging. Man, you put a lot of time in on that deer lease. He said he got a little bit of a fall tease. It's 61 degrees up there this morning. Yeah, we had some of that around my place, too, earlier this week, but looks like it may be gone by now. But it'll be back. And here's one talking about the Happy Jack comment. You're quick on your part. You're very witty and correct. It's about that fellow that was very happy. But this fellow's happy because he's waiting for the dynamic duel to get back on the water, and he's also waiting on his buddy to get there. He's going to make the kids late on their fishing trip. Also got a buddy on the West Bank, had a procedure. Hadn't been there a while, but looking forward when he comes back and they get reunited and they can get back on the water. That's a shout-out for the nickname Bulldog. And here's one from Joey C. He's on his way to Lafayette. Not for pleasure, but for work. At least he gets to listen to this show on the drive. And here's a comment, says, seeing something never before in my 80 years. Dolphins in bays back of Boothville and Burris. What does that tell you? Oysters, brown shrimp, redfish, special trout, meaning speckled trout, disappearing. I need water diversions. And here's one, says, hey, Don, the last I looked, we weren't able to hunt within the city. Well, you're not going to be able to hunt the ducks in the city. But, you know, there's actually two sides of an argument about that. I believe if you start hunting those birds and you put pressure on them, you're not going to start seeing them stack up in those places anymore. I mean, do we see blue-winged teal and gray ducks and pintails and those kind of birds stacking up in the cities? No, and when they're here, and I think part of that reason is they have a natural fear. I mean, they're hunted species, and once you hunt a species, I mean, take the bird like a dove. If doves were not hunted, they'd be basically songbirds like cardinals and blue jays and everything else. Now, other people believe that, you know, they're going to take refuge in the city parks and the places where there's no hunting and just make the situation worse there. I don't know. What do y'all think? And this one says, are there any states currently offering black belly whistlers in their teal season? I know that some have requested it. And I think the feds are kind of mulling it over, taking their time to make a decision. I mean, how wrong could they be, huh? All right, let's see. This one says, headed to Pecan Island to cut the grass at the camp. That's from Vermilionville. And let's see. I've been told the whistling ducks are delicious. They taste like a barn owl. Well, I don't know what a barn owl tastes like. I doubt many people do. I have eaten the whistling ducks. And to me, they're just about like any other puddle duck, gray duck, widgeon, pintail. You know, most of those species are similar. And, you know, I'll tell you one thing they have. They've got a huge breast on them because they're much bigger. They're a different shape. And they've got big legs. If you're a drumstick guy and thighs, oh, man, that's your call right there. All right, 504-260-1870. That is our talk and text line. If you want to get a text in real quick, we'll always welcome to take them. Did want to remind you, I've been talking about this for a couple of weeks. Mississippi is taking a real good opportunity to offer a velvet deer season to hunters in their state. You know, you can take a deer in velvet, and it's only going to be for just a few days. It's September 13th through 15th. It's a very early season. You have to get a velvet season permit in addition to your other hunting license. It's, you know, of course, if it's got a velvet rack, it's going to be a buck, so it's bucks only. And you have to abide by the size limits in the unit in which you take it. Some you can take any buck. Others it's a 12-inch, and others it's 10. Just check the regulations, and you can find it out for your respective deer management area. And this is for archery only. You can use a longbow, recurve, compound bow, crossbow, and there's no minimum draw weight. You do have to get the permit. The residents, it's only $10. If you're a non-resident, the permit is included in your deer permit, which is $100. And the bag limit, again, is one legal buck, and it counts towards your annual antler deer bag limit. But a unique opportunity. A lot of people like to see them in velvet. And it is rare, but it does happen during the regular season where it gets to October and some of the deer still haven't scraped off all that velvet, which is the regrowth of the antlers each year. But you do it in September, you got a much better chance of finding a buck with velvet antlers. All right, we come back after this. We got a fishing report. We're going to check in with Darrell Carpenter in Grand Isle. I think he's got special duty down there today, participating in that redfish reload, we're calling it, the first ever redfish broodstock capture and spawn and return the fingerlings to restock the redfish population in Louisiana. We'll also get a weather update, find out if it's blowing. According to what my sources tell me, it's could be some stiff east winds down there for that Ride the Bull tournament. We're back with Captain Darrell after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's head on down to Grand Isle, the site of the Ride the Bull kayak tournament going on there today. We talked to Captain Darrell Carpenter, realscreamers.com. Darrell, they got you on special duty today?
Yes, sir. We'll be transporting those bull reds to send to the new redfish hatchery that they're going to be opening up. So that's what we're doing right now. We're rigging up live tanks and all in the boat so we can transport them unharmed and alive.
So you're going to be collecting these from the kayak fishermen as they hook up a brood stock redfish, and they will give some type of a signal, raise their rod, and then they'll get the word to you, and then you can pick it up, put it on your boat, and bring it back to the holding tank. Is that the way it goes?
That is my understanding, yes, sir. They will be dealt with first. They'll be weighed real quickly or do whatever the tournament's going to do. And then once they're through with that, then we're going to grab them, throw them in live tanks, and transport them to a large transport truck that's designed to, you know, transport these fish alive, and then they'll be bringing them to the hatchery.
Very good. Yeah, they'll be going to Ocean Springs, Mississippi, to the Mississippi State Fish Hatchery, and they'll be spawned there, and then the fingerlings will be returned back to Louisiana to be released. It's a historical activity going on this weekend. Darrell, what kind of weather are you getting down there? I was looking at some pretty brisk winds blowing across from the east down there. Is that going to affect the fishing?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to be a little bit stiff. I'm going to tell you, Don, all week, they had a really good week. I mean, it was really windy for us most of the week, but everybody was fishing the beach, and as luck would have it, those fish were stacked up on the beach. So everything between, say, the Four Bayou area all the way to Fouchon, you had people that were lining up on that beach, and you had to move around a little bit and find some bait and find the schools of fish. But, man, there were some really impressive catches of speckled trout came off that beach this week. Now, today, if it blows like it did yesterday, I wouldn't want to be in one of those little plastic bathtubs, because, man, it blew yesterday, let me tell you. It's going to be, you know, that's what we're doing, just to give you an example, what we're doing right now, we're moving these bait tanks off the bows of these boats, moving them to the back because we're anticipating it's going to be fairly rough. So as we're transporting these fish, we don't want to be beating them up. I'm anticipating it's going to be fairly rough. If you're fishing today, I don't think you're fishing the big bays. You're either going to have to get up in that marsh and pick away at the dinks, or if this wind will get a little bit of north in it, maybe the beach is going to be doable. I saw a forecast where it's probably going to be a foot and a half, which a foot and a half isn't big until you're trying to fish them in the breakers itself, and then a foot and a half gets fairly big. It's hard to fish. So it might strictly be a marsh day today.
Robbie earlier was talking about the transition and happening down in his area, meaning the speckled trout moving from the outer bays into the interior marshes. And Grand Isle is usually ahead of the rest of the state as far as transitioning in or out. When do you anticipate, all the years you've been fishing down there, you start seeing it show up in Grand Isle?
Well, Don, you know, it's part of the argument here is, and when we've been using this term all year long, the bay is the new beach. We've got so much land loss down here, and these bays are so wide open, the salinities are running so high, I don't think a lot of those fish aren't making it all the way to that beach. They don't have to. They're finding current. They're finding salinity. You know, so they're still really nice fish. I mean, we had last week just inside, we had some 21-inch trout coming in. So, I mean, I think the transition is kind of halfway started already for us. I think that, you know, we're seeing some really big females on the inside. Whether they're coming back from the outside or whether they just never made it out there, I'm not sure, but I think it's underway now.
Very good. Darrell, when do you think you might make a run out to El Cid, the Raisin Canes, the new reef that was constructed a couple weeks ago before it started producing?
Oh, Don, I mean, 20 minutes before y'all showed up with the cameras, we caught a limit there. What a lot of people don't know. No, yeah. Sid, what a lot of people don't know is when they cleaned that platform off, all they cleaned off was the visible part. All of the structure that was on the bottom was still there. Now, I'm a full believer that a full vertical reef is a whole lot better than just ground clutter, but there's been fish there all year long. The problem is, what was there before they went and put in those reef balls was big enough for one, maybe two boats. Mm-hmm. I understand that they didn't reef the entire area. They just did little pods, little sections all around it. So hopefully, you know, I got to get out there and map it, but hopefully they spread it out enough to where now you can fit more than one or two boats in there. But there's fish there now. There was fish. They were spooking fish off as they were putting balls down, because I know we talked to the guys on the barge while we were catching them.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times those rigs, they by law, they have to remove all the metal structure. But the rock pads that are the foundation, they don't touch those. Those still remain there. And those can be some very good unmarked secret fishing holes if you know where they are.
Don't tell nobody.
Darrell, what do you think is going to be the technique for finding those bulls in the pass today? You fished them before, but not from a kayak. What do you think the game plan would be for somebody getting ready to put their plastic boat in and go try to get some of them?
Well, you know, we're going to have a hard falling tide. I'm going to think that they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have a decent anchor to hold them in this falling tide, although we are going to have a hard east wind bucking it, so it might slow it down a little bit. Our general game plan was always getting that 12 to 15 feet of water range, stay out of the deep channel, and always just put bait on the bottom right there on that ledge, and that's what was always successful for us. So I'm assuming that will be it. I mean, they're going to be more so on the edges of the pass rather than, you know, and try to get on the edge of that current rather than being right out in the middle, but hey, I mean, I know they went out, the folks that are doing the stuff that, you know, keeping those reds for the hack.
Got to run, my friend. Thank you. Darrell Carpenter, RealScreamers.com. Back with hour number two after this. All right, getting back to those text messages. Let's see, we have fishing. This is from Doug. Fishing Bayou Liberty on Tuesday and noticed three different bands of teal heading towards the Wrigley's Marsh. Fishing slow, no tide movement. Yeah, take that tide to get them biting. All right, here's one, a question. Another one for Captain Ryan. Does he do specific triple-tail mangrove snapper trips? Also, did we wait too late to try and book a trip, or is the bite still on? Thank you. If you stay tuned, we're going to be talking to Ryan Lambert a little bit later on, and we'll check with him on that. And also a question about from Pickle in Ponchatoula. How is the fishing in Happy Jack? Well, that's going to be Ryan Lambert question again. So it's going to be the Ryan Lambert show for the second hour. And we're hearing from our Alabama buddy, the Backstrap Stacker. He's headed to the camp to do more bush hogging. Man, you put a lot of time in on that deer lease. He said he got a little bit of a fall tease. It's 61 degrees up there this morning. Yeah, we had some of that around my place, too, earlier this week, but looks like it may be gone by now. But it'll be back. And here's one talking about the Happy Jack comment. You're quick on your part. You're very witty and correct. It's about that fellow that was very happy. But this fellow's happy because he's waiting for the dynamic duel to get back on the water, and he's also waiting on his buddy to get there. He's going to make the kids late on their fishing trip. Also got a buddy on the West Bank, had a procedure. Hadn't been there a while, but looking forward when he comes back and they get reunited and they can get back on the water. That's a shout-out for the nickname Bulldog. And here's one from Joey C. He's on his way to Lafayette, not for pleasure, but for work. At least he gets to listen to this show on the drive. And here's a comment, says, seeing something never before in my 80 years. Dolphins in bays back of Boothville and Burris, what does that tell you? Oysters, brown shrimp, redfish, special trout, meaning speckled trout, disappearing. I need water diversions. And here's one, says, hey, Don, the last I looked, we weren't able to hunt within the city. Well, you're not going to be able to hunt the ducks in the city, but, you know, there's actually two sides of an argument about that. I believe if you start hunting those birds and you put pressure on them, you're not going to start seeing them stack up in those places anymore. I mean, do we see blue-winged teal and gray ducks and pintails and those kind of birds stacking up in the cities? No, and when they're here, and I think part of that reason is they have a natural fear. I mean, they're hunted species, and once you hunt a species, I mean, take the bird like a dove. If doves were not hunted, they'd be basically songbirds like cardinals and blue jays and everything else. Now, other people believe that, you know, they're going to take refuge in the city parks and the places where there's no hunting and just make the situation worse there. I don't know. What do y'all think? And this one says, are there any states currently offering black-bellied whistlers in their teal season? I know that some have requested it. And I think the feds are kind of mulling it over, taking their time to make a decision. I mean, how wrong could they be, huh? All right, let's see. This one says, headed to Pecan Island to cut the grass at the camp. That's from Vermilionville. And let's see. I've been told the whistling ducks are delicious. They taste like a barn owl. Well, I don't know what a barn owl tastes like. I doubt many people do. I have eaten the whistling ducks, and to me, they're just about like any other puddle duck, gray duck, widgeon, pintail. You know, most of those species are similar, and, you know, I'll tell you one thing they have. They've got a huge breast on them because they're much bigger, they're a different shape, and they've got big legs. If you're a drumstick guy and thighs, oh, man, that's your call right there. All right, 504-260-1870. That is our talk and text line. If you want to get a text in real quick, we'll always welcome to take them. Did want to remind you, I've been talking about this for a couple of weeks. Mississippi is taking a real good opportunity to offer a velvet deer season to hunters in their state. You know, you can take a deer in velvet, and it's only going to be for just a few days. It's September 13th through 15th. It's a very early season. You have to get a velvet season permit in addition to your other hunting license. It's, you know, of course, if it's got a velvet rack, it's going to be a buck, so it's bucks only. And you have to abide by the size limits in the unit in which you take it. Some you can take any buck. Others it's a 12-inch, and others it's 10. Just check the regulations, and you can find it out for your respective deer management area. And this is for archery only. You can use a longbow, recurve, compound bow, crossbow, and there's no minimum draw weight. You do have to get the permit. The residents, it's only $10. If you're a non-resident, the permit is included in your deer permit, which is $100. And the bag limit, again, is one legal buck, and it counts towards your annual antler deer bag limit. But a unique opportunity. A lot of people like to see them in velvet. And it is rare, but it does happen during the regular season where it gets to October and some of the deer still haven't scraped off all that velvet, which is the regrowth of the antlers each year. But you do it in September, you got a pretty good, a much better chance of finding a buck with velvet antlers. All right, we come back after this. We got a fishing report. We're going to check in with Darrell Carpenter in Grand Isle. I think he's got special duty down there today, participating in that redfish reload, we're calling it, the first ever redfish broodstock capture and spawn and return the fingerlings to restock the redfish population in Louisiana. We'll also get a weather update, find out if it's blowing. According to what my sources tell me, it's could be some stiff east winds down there for that Ride the Bull tournament. We're back with Captain Darrell after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's head on down to Grand Isle, the site of the Ride the Bull kayak tournament going on there today. We talked to Captain Darrell Carpenter, realscreamers.com. Darrell, they got you on special duty today?
Yes, sir. We'll be transporting those bull reds to send to the new redfish hatchery that they're going to be opening up. So that's what we're doing right now. We're rigging up live tanks and all in the boat so we can transport them unharmed and alive.
So you're going to be collecting these from the kayak fishermen as they hook up a brood stock redfish, and they will give some type of a signal, raise their rod, and then they'll get the word to you, and then you can pick it up, put it on your boat, and bring it back to the holding tank. Is that the way it goes?
That is my understanding, yes, sir. They will be dealt with first. They'll be weighed real quickly or do whatever the tournament's going to do. And then once they're through with that, then we're going to grab them, throw them in live tanks, and transport them to a large transport truck that's designed to, you know, transport these fish alive, and then they'll be bringing them to the hatchery.
Very good. Yeah, they'll be going to Ocean Springs, Mississippi, to the Mississippi State Fish Hatchery, and they'll be spawned there, and then the fingerlings will be returned back to Louisiana to be released. It's a historical activity going on this weekend. Darrell, what kind of weather are you getting down there? I was looking at some pretty brisk winds blowing across from the east down there. Is that going to affect the fishing?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to be a little bit stiff. I'm going to tell you, Don, all week, they had a really good week. I mean, it was really windy for us most of the week, but everybody was fishing the beach, and as luck would have it, those fish were stacked up on the beach. So everything between, say, the Four Bayou area all the way to Fouchon, you had people that were lining up on that beach, and you had to move around a little bit and find some bait and find the schools of fish. But, man, there were some really impressive catches of speckled trout came off that beach this week. Now, today, if it blows like it did yesterday, I wouldn't want to be in one of those little plastic bathtubs, because, man, it blew yesterday, let me tell you. It's going to be, you know, that's what we're doing. Just to give you an example, what we're doing right now, we're moving these bait tanks off the bows of these boats, moving them to the back because we're anticipating it's going to be fairly rough. So as we're transporting these fish, we don't want to be beating them up. So, yeah, I'm anticipating it's going to be fairly rough. If you're fishing today, I don't think you're fishing the big bays. You're either going to have to get up in that marsh and pick away at the dinks, or if this wind will get a little bit of north in it, maybe the beach is going to be doable. I saw a forecast where it's probably going to be a foot and a half, which a foot and a half isn't big until you're trying to fish them in the breakers itself, and then a foot and a half gets fairly big. It's hard to fish. So it might strictly be a marsh day today.
You know, Robbie earlier was talking about the transition and happening down in his area, meaning the speckled trout moving from the outer bays into the interior marshes. And Grand Isle is usually ahead of the rest of the state as far as transitioning in or out. When do you anticipate, all the years you've been fishing down there, you start seeing it show up in Grand Isle?
Well, Don, you know, it's part of the argument here is, and when we've been using this term all year long, the bay is the new beach. We've got so much land loss down here, and these bays are so wide open. The salinities are running so high. I don't think a lot of those fish aren't making it all the way to that beach. They don't have to. They're finding current. They're finding salinity. You know, so they're still really nice fish. I mean, we had last week just inside, we had some 21-inch trout coming in. So, I mean, I think the transition is kind of halfway started already for us. I think that, you know, we're seeing some really big females on the inside. Whether they're coming back from the outside or whether they just never made it out there, I'm not sure, but I think it's underway now.
Very good. Darrell, when do you think you might make a run out to El Cid, the Raisin Canes, the new reef that was constructed you know, a couple weeks ago, before it starts producing?
Oh, Don, I mean, 20 minutes before y'all showed up with the cameras, we caught a limit there. what a lot of people don't know. No, yeah. Sid, what a lot of people don't know is when they cleaned that platform off, all they cleaned off was the visible part. All of the structure that was on the bottom was still there. Now, I'm a full believer that a full vertical reef is a whole lot better than just ground clutter, but there's been fish there all year long. The problem is, what was there before they went and put in those reef balls was big enough for one, maybe two boats. Mm-hmm. I understand that they didn't reef the entire area. They just did little pods, little sections all around it. So hopefully, you know, I got to get out there and map it, but hopefully they spread it out enough to where now you can fit more than one or two boats in there. But there's fish there now. There was fish. They were spooking fish off as they were putting balls down, because I know we talked to the guys on the barge while we were catching them.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times those rigs, they by law, they have to remove all the metal structure. But the rock pads that are the foundation, they don't touch those. Those still remain there. And those can be some very good unmarked secret fishing holes if you know where they are.
Don't tell nobody.
Darrell, what do you think is going to be the technique for finding those bulls in the past today? You fished them before, but not from a kayak. What do you think the game plan would be for somebody getting ready to put their plastic boat in and go try to get some of them?
Well, you know, we're going to have a hard falling tide. I'm going to think that they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have a decent anchor to hold them in this falling tide, although we are going to have a hard east wind bucking it, so it might slow it down a little bit. Our general game plan was always getting that 12 to 15 feet of water range, stay out of the deep channel, and always just put bait on the bottom right there on that ledge, and that's what was always successful for us. So I'm assuming that will be it. I mean, they're going to be more so on the edges of the pass rather than, you know, and try to get on the edge of that current rather than being right out in the middle, but hey, I mean, I know they went out, the folks that are doing the stuff that, you know, keeping those reds for the hack.
Got to run, my friend. Thank you. Darrell Carpenter, RealScreamers.com. Back with hour number two after this. All right, let's head on down to Grand Isle, the site of the Ride the Bull Kayak Tournament going on there today. We talked to Captain Darrell Carpenter, RealScreamers.com. Darrell, they got you on special duty today?
Yes, sir. We'll be transporting those bull reds to send to the new redfish hatchery that they're going to be opening up. So that's what we're doing right now. We're rigging up live tanks and all in the boat so we can transport them unharmed and alive.
So you're going to be collecting these from the kayak fishermen as they hook up a brood stock redfish, and they will give some type of a signal, raise their rod, and then they'll get the word to you, and then you can pick it up, put it on your boat, and bring it back to the holding tank. Is that the way it goes?
That is my understanding, yes, sir. They will be dealt with first. They'll be weighed real quickly or do whatever the tournament's going to do. And then once they're through with that, then we're going to grab them, throw them in live tanks, and transport them to a large transport truck that's designed to, you know, transport these fish alive, and then they'll be bringing them to the hatchery.
Very good. Yeah, they'll be going to Ocean Springs, Mississippi, to the Mississippi State Fish Hatchery, and they'll be spawned there, and then the fingerlings will be returned back to Louisiana to be released. It's a historical activity going on this weekend. Darrell, what kind of weather are you getting down there? I was looking at some pretty brisk winds blowing across from the east down there. Is that going to affect the fishing?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to be a little bit stiff. I'm going to tell you, Don, all week they had a really good week. I mean, it was really windy for us most of the week, but everybody was fishing the beach, and as luck would have it, those fish were stacked up on the beach. So everything between, say, the Four Bayou area all the way to Fouchon, you had people that were lining up on that beach, and you had to move around a little bit and find some bait and find the schools of fish. But, man, there were some really impressive catches of speckled trout came off that beach this week. Now, today, if it blows like it did yesterday, I wouldn't want to be in one of those plastic bathtubs, because, man, it blew yesterday, let me tell you. It's going to be, you know, that's what we're doing. Just to give you an example, what we're doing right now, we're moving these bait tanks off of the bows of these boats, moving them to the back because we're anticipating it's going to be fairly rough. So as we're transporting these fish, we don't want to be beating them up. I'm anticipating that's going to be fairly rough. If you're fishing today, I don't think you're fishing the big bays. You're either going to have to get up in that marsh and pick away at the dinks, or if this wind will get a little bit of north in it, maybe the beach is going to be doable. I saw a forecast where it's probably going to be a foot and a half, which a foot and a half isn't big until you're trying to fish them in the breakers itself, and then a foot and a half gets fairly big. It's hard to fish. So it might strictly be a marsh day today.
Robbie earlier was talking about the transition and happening down in his area, meaning the speckled trout moving from the outer bays into the interior marshes. And Grand Isle is usually ahead of the rest of the state as far as transitioning in or out. When do you anticipate all the years you've been fishing down there, you start seeing it show up in Grand Isle?
Well, Don, you know, it's part of the argument here is, and when we've been using this term all year long, the bay is the new beach. We've got so much land loss down here, and these bays are so wide open, the salinities are running so high, I don't think a lot of those fish aren't making it all the way to that beach. They don't have to. They're finding current. They're finding salinity. You know, so there's still really nice fish. I mean, we had last week just inside, we had some 21-inch trout coming in. So, I mean, I think the transition is kind of halfway started already for us. I think that, you know, we're seeing some really big females on the inside. Whether they're coming back from the outside or whether they just never made it out there, I'm not sure, but I think it's underway now.
Very good. Darrell, when do you think you might make a run out to El Cid, the Raisin Canes, the new reef that was constructed a couple weeks ago before it started producing?
Oh, Don, I mean, 20 minutes before y'all showed up with the cameras, we caught a limit there. What a lot of people don't know. No, sir, what a lot of people don't know is when they cleaned that platform off, all they cleaned off was the visible part. All of the structure that was on the bottom was still there. Now, I'm a full believer that a full vertical reef is a whole lot better than just ground clutter, but there's been fish there all year long. The problem is, what was there before they went and put in those reef balls was big enough for one, maybe two boats. Mm-hmm. I understand that they didn't reef the entire area. They just did little pods, little sections all around it. So hopefully, you know, I got to get out there and map it, but hopefully they spread it out enough to where now you can fit more than one or two boats in there. But there's fish there now. There was fish. They were spooking fish off as they were putting the balls down, because I know we talked to the guys on the barge while we were catching them.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times those rigs, they by law, they have to remove all the metal structure. But the rock pads that are the foundation, they don't touch those. Those still remain there. And those can be some very good unmarked secret fishing holes if you know where they are.
Don't tell nobody.
Darrell, what do you think is going to be the technique for finding those bulls in the past today? You fished them before, but not from a kayak. What do you think the game plan would be for somebody getting ready to put their plastic boat in and go try to get some of them?
Well, you know, we're going to have a hard falling tide. I'm going to think that they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have a decent anchor to hold them in this falling tide, although we are going to have a hard east wind bucking it, so it might slow it down a little bit. Our general game plan was always getting that 12 to 15 feet of water range, stay out of the deep, deep channel, and always just put bait on the bottom right there on that ledge, and that's what was always successful for us. So I'm assuming that will be it. I mean, they're going to be more so on the edges of the pass rather than, you know, and try to get on the edge of that current rather than being right out in the middle. But hey, I mean, I know they went out, the folks that are doing the stuff that, you know,
right,
keeping those reds for that.
Got to run, my friend. Thank you. Darrell Carpenter, realscreamers.com. Back with hour number two after this.